And hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Having a sense of belonging, with family, friends, and co-workers can help relieve symptoms of depression, according to the University of Michigan research. Now, this is kind of important. Today, we're going to talk about a sense of belonging, what it is and what it is not, and whether it's really important, you know. Reggie Williams, professor of nursing and psychiatry and co-author of a paper in Current Issues at the Archives of Psychiatric Nursing, said people who feel connected to the world around them feel better. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you feel connected to the world around you, you feel better than if you don't feel connected to the world around you. So they spent a lot of time doing a lot of research, checking with a lot of people and coming up with this answer. Well, do you feel connected? If you feel connected, you feel better than them who don't feel connected. Because if you don't feel connected, then you're lonely. And you feel alone. And it's a very tough world when you feel alone. Well, maybe not. The researchers studied 90 people, separated them into two groups, those who were depressed and those who weren't. And they did the research and they asked who feels connected. They checked on who was connected, and the ones who felt connected were suffering the least amount of depression, and the ones who felt disconnected. What does that mean, disconnected? Are you connected? To what do you belong? Here's a question. Can you say, I belong to my family? I am a family member. Well, here's part of the question that they asked. Belonging, just by nature of belonging, is not enough. Do you fit in? So you could be belong to a family, but you may not fit into the family. You know, you may feel like you're an odd person out. So then the belonging is there, but it's not there. They say people who belong who don't fit in feel worse than people who don't belong. Did you ever feel lonely in a crowd? Did you ever go in a crowd of people where there's a whole crowd of people you know, and you feel absolutely alone because you don't fit in? So what can you say you belong to? Do you belong to your job? You know, in Japan, it's an interesting thing because a lot of people build their identity on their jobs, on the actual place they work. I work for Toyota, and they have honor with their company, and they have a sense of belonging to their company, and there's a great honor and a great feeling. Most of us who work nowadays don't have a sense of that. I have it here. I mean, where I work, I have a group of people I work with. They feel like family. I mean, it's a different kind of feeling, but most people don't have that. Most people who work in America don't feel like they are connected to, well, in that kind of way, to the place they work. They have different kinds of connections. You know, they have connections like the secretaries feel connected to the other secretaries, and the managers feel connected to the managers, and the runners feel connected to the runners, those are the messengers, and the male people feel connected to the other male people. But do they? You know, it's a different kind of connection. It kind of works when you're complaining about somebody, you know. I mean, because that's part of the idea about gossip. Gossip is a way of belonging. Sometimes people share negative feelings about somebody or something, and this way they belong to the group that is complaining. So if you look at the rain outside and you say, it's terrible weather, and you have somebody standing next to you who says, yes, that it is terrible weather, you and that person are connected in a funny way because you both see the terrible weather. So now you belong to somebody who is anti-bad weather. Do you belong to your job? Do you belong to your lover? Do you feel connected to your lover, whoever your lover is, whether your lover be your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend? Do you feel that sense of connection? Do you feel that belonging? Sometimes people don't feel it. Sometimes people feel like they're dating somebody and going out with somebody and sleeping with somebody, but they don't belong. You belong to your neighborhood. How about WBAI? You know, are all of you out there part of WBAI? Are you my family? Do you belong? Do you belong to your town? Do you belong to your street? You know, are you on Bonnie Lane? And you all say, all of us who live on Bonnie Lane, or all of us who live on 12th Street, we all belong, we're a group. I belong to that group, the 12th Street group. But remember, you have to fit in. So if you look different than everybody else, or if you don't acknowledge everybody else, or if you just are too good for everybody, or not good enough for everybody, if you feel judged by them, you don't belong. There are people who feel their identity based on the kind of car they drive. Toyota drivers feel connected to other Toyota drivers, and Volkswagen drivers feel connected to Volkswagen drivers, and Mercedes drivers feel connected to other Mercedes drivers, like we have a private club. Read people who have the same car. Do you belong to the United States of America? It's really a big question. You know, I mean, this is probably one of the, you know, the Union of States that's happening in Europe, this great union of different countries that have kind of gotten together, and they said, hey, we're not very different. We all have a euro dollar. And they took away the a piece of the French being French, and a piece of the English being English, and a piece of the Italian being Italian. And they said, now we're one big, nice group. Do you think it did anything to their sense of belonging? Do you want to belong to that? You know, remember the Woody, it wasn't Woody Allen, I think it was, I always thought it was Woody Allen, it was Groucho Marx who said, I never want to belong to a club who would have me as a member. It was Groucho Marx. Do you feel like, you know, in Europe, what happened to those poor folks? You know, what happened to those folks who had this great identity as a nationality, you know, and now suddenly their nationality is being shifted to a Euro nation? Is it a good thing? Is it a not good thing? Are they feeling bigger? Are they feeling less? The United States of America, I remember when I was a teenager, I used to travel. And people would say, aha, you're American. I say, yes, I'm American. And I would say, what a kind of a pride. And it would be a prideful because they all wanted to come over here and they all wanted to be American just like me. And they kind of honored me and they kind of said, oh, it's really nice you're American, you know. This is in my early days. This was before Vietnam. Vietnam came along, of course, and it changed all that. Vietnam and then everything else that followed it. Do you feel like you belong to the United States? Do you feel like a member of this country? Do you feel American? It's a big question for you. Many years ago, I was giving a lecture. And in this lecture, I was talking about the sense of belonging. And I asked an audience, I said to the audience, I dare you reclaim. It was right during the Vietnam War. I said, how dare they take away our identity with our country because we object so strongly to what they're doing. And so up there on the podium, I had 2,000 people in an audience. It was a closing ceremony, I remember. And I remember I said, I want us to re-own this country. I want this country to be ours. I don't want them to take it away. They've taken away everything. If you look at the flag, you feel shame, you know, because of what's done under the name of the flag, you know. And they took away the songs. They took away America the Beautiful. And I remember saying to them, this is 2,000 people who are all psychology-oriented, growth-oriented, New Age-oriented, left-wingers. I said, I dare us sing this song. Now, I had 2,000 people singing America the Beautiful. and they held hands and they started singing. Now, guaranteed, you will know that because I sang, I had these people singing this song, I later got letters from people believing that I was pro-war because I was singing America the Beautiful. I put on this song, and people started saying, how could you play that song? Because that means you're pro-war. I mean, are we not allowed to do it? I mean, I'm even curious about what would happen if I played it on this station. If I played it on this station, you think they'd take me off the air? They'd say, how could you play America the Beautiful? How could you play such a horrible song? But it's not a horrible song. It used to be a beautiful song. It used to be pretty. We used to sing it together. Do you remember that? You think they'd take me off the air? Boy, I think they would. I think they'd say, what's wrong? What's going on? I think people who are not listening to the program right now, sitting in the station, who are kind of ignoring, you know, here comes another positive mind, so I don't have a chance to listen. I think those people would probably say, we better take this off the air. We maybe have to cut this. You think they'd do that? Gee, I don't know. Do you remember the words? I mean, I won't play it. Because people will think I'm saying, oh, let's go into the fifth year of Iraq. No, I want to belong. I mean, I belong to a group of wonderful people. And they're wonderful American people. And I'm real proud of our people. You know, I'm proud of the people I know, and I'm proud of what the people here do. But to dare, you know, to dare, I mean, this is blasphemy. Blasphemy. Here's the old Kate version of it. How many of you are getting angry? How many of you are saying, get that off the air, get that off the air? Well, I'll get it off the air. I will get it off the air because I know it strikes the part of so many people on the inside, but I was listening to it before and I was weeping just as I remembered back so many years ago when those 2,000 people were holding hands and weeping because they felt they had just been raped. Somebody had invaded them. Somebody had taken away that which belonged to them, as many of us feel nowadays. So what do we belong to? One of the ways of belonging to something is through, is by finding a negative things, finding something you hate. Like you could hate that song, you know. I hate that song, America the Beautiful. It's not such a terrible song. A couple of bomb mentions, but it's not really such a terrible song. It's kind of pretty, you know. But you could gather around and you could all get together and hate. Just like the Ku Klux Klan. The people who are in the Ku Klux Klan, they feel like they belong with each other because they hate. And you could hate a culture and you could hate a group. And you could hate the people who are the warmongers, and you could hate the Republicans, and that creates your group. But I don't think that really belonging is based on hate. No, I think really belonging is based on love. And so when you're really belonging to something, there's a shared love, but I don't think there's a shared love plus a shared hatred for something on the outside. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It is kind of an amazing thing. Listen, I want to take your calls about belonging. What? To what do you belong? Do you feel connected or don't you feel connected? Do you feel disconnected? You know, here in America, here in New York City, many people live in apartments. Think of what the word means, apart, meant. It means apart. It doesn't mean groupment. You know, they don't call it a groupment, meaning like you're all part of the same group. No, it's apartment. It means you're apart from everybody. And you live in an apartment and you used to come from a place which was a neighborhood, you know? You used to hang out on your stoop. Those of you who had stoops, too many of you know what a stoop. Do you know what a stoop is? A stoop. Hang out on your stoop with a bunch of people standing around a stoop, for those of you who don't know, are the steps outside of tenement buildings. And the stoop was a place where people would kind of deliciously hang out. And just, you know, hang out. And they would do nothing. You could spend an entire evening hanging out. But during that period of time, you were belonging. you were kind of being with people. We're going to be taking your calls today, 212-209-2900, because I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about your own sense of belonging. But before I do, no, I'll bring you the other thing later. What about your sense of belonging? Do you belong? Do you feel like you want to belong? Do you feel like you don't belong? And so this will take a little engineering today because we have Reggie, who is engineering with us today, and I want to hear from you. 212-209-2900. I'll take the first call, Reggie, if we could get that up. And this is Armand DeMille. Hi there. I want to hear from you. It's going to take a little while for us to get it. Do we have our call there yet, Reggie?
Hello?
Yes, hi there. Hello. Hi there, it's Armand DeMille.
Yes, I'm not on here, am I?
Yes, you are.
Am I? Oh. Well.
Did you want to be on air?
Not particularly.
Well, you are. Were you calling to say something about the program?
Well, I really wasn't listening to the program. But,
oh, so then how come you called in?
I called in about another issue. I was a volunteer, during your fund drive.
Yes.
And I did a certain amount of hours. I was just wondering, if you had gotten around to sending out our specials,
All earned. What's your name?
My name is Wilson, Dennis Wilson.
Dennis, I want to thank you so much for manning the phones during that time. Let me ask you something. When you were doing the phones during the fun drive, did you enjoy doing it?
Oh, it was a great opportunity for me.
What was great about it?
I met a lot of interesting people.
And did you feel connected to the people, Dennis?
Yeah, everybody was, cool. Everybody was able to converse, and we discussed a couple of things, and the atmosphere was good.
And now that feeling, you see that feeling that took place doing a joint venture and doing something for love and having a group of people and you loving the station, during what time? Did you do it during anybody's particular show?
Well, I was there from in the morning, Amy Goodman show.
Sure.
And I stayed right up until the evening.
Oh, so you were there all the time. So you had such a group of people over something that you loved, which is the love of the station, the love of the producers, and the kind of people joining together to do this thing together. That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
It's great. Now, listen, in answer to your other question about who mails that out, I don't know who it is you're supposed to get in touch with, but I know it's not this phone number.
I
know
you have to figure that out.
What? But it's great to have you on air because what we were talking about is a sense of belonging, and you came on, and you are beautiful.
Hey, I consider myself a part of the BAI family.
Well, now you're
and you're having a fun job. Come on down,
Yeah, well, you are part of the family. In fact, if you go to the website, thepositivemind.com, and you press on my archives from now on, you could hear yourself on radio with me.
All right.
And you'll be able to hear yourself and your contribution. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. See, there's a perfect example of how you belong when you don't even know you belong. Look at that. He didn't even know what he was calling about. He was calling about, hey, what about the thing we get because we volunteered? And 212-209-2900, take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, well, the only person I really belong with is my husband. That's the only person who really I know loves me and really is on my side. At work, I don't belong with the coworkers. I don't belong with my lover at work. All I have is problems. Just yesterday, I'm off today. Just yesterday, this new supervisor who I thought I liked, I thought she was very nice. Turns out she goes to the guy at work that I love, and she says, "Oh, you want to file a statement of against me and everything? That I was harassing him and all this." It's like at work, it's just I don't belong, and the coworkers would jump in there making jokes. Well,
for as long as I've heard you on the air, and I've heard you on my radio program for at least 5 years.
I know.
And over that 5 years, I've heard your story. What's your name again?
Roseanne.
Roseanne, right? And when every time you've called in, I've seen you at battle with the world.
And
listen, I understand. The world is a battle place for you because it's hard for you to fit in. Because you never fit in when you were little. They didn't give you a feeling of fitting in, but you do have a husband, and your husband does give you the sense that you do belong.
And yet sometimes there's good that comes out of it. There's a new coworker there, a gay guy, and he's very nice to me. And he even told me, he said, oh, I was told stay away from her. She's crazy and everything. And he said, and I'm very glad that I know you. You're not crazy, and you're just like the lowest person on the totem pole and all that. And, you know, so there are moments where, you know, people come through.
Yeah.
So it's not all negative, even though I just give you the negative side.
I hear you, Roseanne. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you. Such a lovely person. Sometimes, you know, life deals you such a tough deck.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Aman, good talking to you. This is Stefan Omar calling from the Big Mango here in Harlem.
Hey, Stefan.
You know, when you were talking about the stoops and so on and so forth, I live in a neighborhood where it's much like Little Italy or in the Village.
Oh, you live in a neighborhood of stoops? Yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing about that is, if you stay out there too long, the police officers will come right and run you off. That's the bottom line.
You see, that's another thing. That really bugs me. What happened to the right to have our stoop rights?
Well, actually, you know what? We have done something about it. The building that I live across the street from, they have a stoop out there. And we have a lot of African brothers and sisters who come from the continent. And do you know what they do every summer? They take out their little garden chairs and whatnot. They sit outside on the sidewalk, and not on the stoop, but on the sidewalk. And they sort of form like a semicircle. And, of course, you have to walk around them. And it's beautiful just to see the beautiful galas that they're wearing, the dashikis, the agbadas. They're speaking a Francais in different languages, in French and Wolof. And no one bothers them. Everyone is mellow.
It's a funny thing. You know, they bring a sense of heart that they bring, and they're not afraid. And that little piece of heart that you put down there, whenever you put love in front of people, and you put real love in front of people, you know, people around you melt. And nobody does bother them. I know what you're talking about. I've seen it often enough.
And then when you're talking about belonging, what I've done is, well, I live solo, but I have a cat, and she's a Siamese Russian Blue Point, and she happens to be an Aquarius, so she runs wild. And I live in a building that's very quiet, and every now and then I just let her run up and down the stairs. She doesn't bother anyone. And also I have a beautiful garden in my home, and I have well over 40 plants that I take.
Well, you see, now that's another thing that people feel the belonging with.
Well, of course.
You and your plants are connected.
Well, actually, I'm an earth sign, so I'm trapped in a concrete jungle. But my garden, I have like a garden also in my hall, in my hallway. And I have a gallery. But it takes me a lot of time to water the garden. And that keeps me busy at least 2-3 hours a day, in the summertime even more. So that's really what I belong to.
Yeah, I understand.
You follow me? And it's very
tranquil. You've come a long way.
I play very soft music. The plants grow beautiful. I love growing avocado plants. I love eating.
Avocado plants are really a remarkable plant that people don't understand.
They are huge.
You know why they don't understand it? They don't understand that you got to take care of it. You got to watch for the bugs. It's the aphids that come, and they come and they want to get the plant at the early stages.
Exactly.
You know, and there you are with a pit turned upside down, sticking in a glass, and you grow this thing up until 6 feet, 7 feet.
Exactly. I have an avocado plant that's about 9 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right. That's true. And I love avocados, so I always plant the seed, although lately I've become lazy and throw them away. I know it's sacrilegious. Throw these seeds away, that is.
But the seeds must be sprouting somewhere, you know.
Oh, they are. I have at least a minimum of, well, I have the avocado plants in the same pot. So I would say I have at least 20 of them.
Amazing.
So that's brother, that's what we do up here.
Hey,
in
Stefan,
the
you know, if you ever get down around 57th Street, you got to bring me a little avocado plant at me to add.
I promise to remember.
I want to bring it right here and add it to our little garden we have down on our.
And can I just leave you and the family with my signature? I love you. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have a beautiful, God bless day.
Thank you very much, Stefan.
Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum. 212-209-2900. You know, every one of those expressions, salam alaikum, namaste, you know, or whatever you say when you say ciao, you automatically form a group. You're automatically part of something, and it's being part. People ache to be part. It aches. Now, of course, there are those who say, I ache so much to belong to something that I'm going to hate everything. And this way, I will make sure nobody touches my heart. I will make sure nobody even gets near me. I met a man earlier today who said to me, you know, I just want to be, in effect, he's Teflon. He's safe because nobody ever gets so close to him that they could hurt him. See, part of what belonging to something is that you can get damaged, that you could feel pain. Let me tell you the story about the geese up in Canada. I think I've told you before. They wondered why the geese had the sound of crying and why they sounded just like human tears, human crying when they saw all these geese flying. And they studied them a little closer. You know the geese when they're flying going south, they're wah, wah, sounds like human crying sometimes. And they studied them closely and they found out when the geese are in formation, which they do to create downdrafts so that they could fly further distances. See, that's why they're in formation, because the wings create a downdraft for the wing and back of it, and that's why they fly. When one goose falls out of formation, when it goes out, you got a big hole in the formation, right? And what the geese do is they cry. They set up this loud cry to find out, where is that goose? Get back here in formation. What they want to know is, did that goose die, and is he gone, or is he coming back? If he's gone, we reshape the formation. But if not, our cries will carry out to him so he could hear us. And it's what I believe mourning is about. That's what I think grieving is about. I think grieving is about crying to find out if the person who died is ever going to come back to you. And so you're crying just like the geese and wondering, are you going to come back? Or am I going to have to reshape my formation? Which we eventually do. And when you're in a crowd of people and you belong to a family where somebody dies, you mourn, you grieve, you cry, waiting. Are they going to come back? And when they don't come back, you reshape, you regroup. But the group is always a little different. I think you're grateful that you belong to such a group. Any group that you belong to will create pain, because some part of that group will eventually go away, and there'll be a pain, and you got to be willing to feel that pain. And because you're willing to feel the pain, it's part of what belonging is about. Even belonging to someone you love is about being willing to face the pain if something goes wrong. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. It is just about 1:29. I'm going to tell you my next story, and then I'll take more calls. My next story comes from an infant of 4 months who was sitting in my house, in my apartment. 4-month-old infant, 4 months, 5 months, a baby, right? So he's in there, and he's even looking around. And you know the way babies look at everything, and they don't pay attention to anything for too long. They're just kind of glancing. Well, all of a sudden, I was playing for their parents. I wanted to play a piece of music that I just acquired. It was a new digitally mastered version of Because by the Beatles. And it comes from something that the Beatles did that was just very, very special. But now the way it was digitally remastered, you hear the magnificence of the voices. So I just put this on for them to hear, and the baby froze. The baby stopped. The baby listened for the first time that the baby listened to anything. They told me this was remarkable. The baby stared at the speakers and heard something and just wouldn't take its attention away. And here's what I think happened. I think the voices created a sense of belonging to that baby, and the baby realized it was connected to something. I think the voices, as you're about to hear them, were about a sense of connection to each other. I think babies, before they're born, have a sense of connection. They're connected to the universe. I think when they're born, they feel ripped away. And then I think eventually they got to develop their sense of belonging again. But this particular baby, this day, as I watched, listened to this music, and it was magic. So if you have the opportunity, I want you to close your eyes, right? Share this with this four-month-old baby, and imagine you're a baby hearing this sound for the first time in your life. And I tell you, my friends, this is for you. I think this is for you. Here it is. Here it goes. So the baby's just sitting there.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the world is round. Because the wind is high, it blows my mind. Because the wind is high.
They get you. Maybe that's what we love about harmony. Maybe that's what we love about music. Maybe that's what we love about the whole thing. It's just a sense of belonging to something. You know, you hear Beethoven here. But that, you know, to look at an infant suddenly perk its ears and not care about its toys and care about its parents and not care about drinking milk or going to sleep or playing with the box, it just suddenly was totally fixed. There's something there. There's something about belonging that we all know. And sometimes we feel so separate. You know, that's the beauty of psychotherapy. I'm telling you, I know psychotherapy is mostly hogwash. Because, you know, why do you have to pay somebody to tell them your problems? Because it's the only person you could tell your problems to who's not going to judge you or not going to be invested. And they're going to somehow, they're going to be with you. They're going to be connected to you during that time. No matter what kind of therapy you ever go through in your life, you are going to deal with a relationship with the therapist. You and the therapist are going to have a relationship, and it's a jumping off point to you in the rest of the world. If you are isolated, the beauty of psychotherapy is that relationship that you have with the therapist. Now, you say, what relationship? This is just a job. It's like hiring a plumber. No, no, no. No, you're going to let yourself be known to somebody as if you've ever let yourself be known to anybody. Most people don't. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind on WBAI 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand?
Yes. Can you turn down your radio all the way?
Did. You know, that was the moment Tabernacle Choir did America the Beautiful.
Wasn't that? No, that was, yes, that was.
That
yes.
was, that was, 1964.
I'm hearing a radio still on. Could you get that?
No, I turned it off.
Okay, now I got it. Thank you.
All right. You know, I'm one of those people who like the boys with dual consciousness. I'm a black person growing up in this country. And, you know, listening to Russell Means earlier today from 10 to 11, where he got on Amy's case because sometimes you wonder why people are not as forefront in the struggle. You know, because I had someone shoot at me when I wanted to try to vote. In the South in the 60s, you know, sometimes they get very firm on what should happen. But then you listen to WBAI, and I'm a physician, and I deal with black people and Hispanic people. And when their mental hygiene questions come up, they want to talk to me because of the stigma of going to see a psychotherapist.
That's right, absolutely. And,
you know, so I try to get them to listen to WBAI, to listen to you. Mm-hmm. To make it easier for them to say, maybe I do need to talk to someone. And I can't bug this guy because he has 15 to 20 minutes to see me. And I told him I got some family problems. I told him I got some problems on the job and I have to jump. And then, and I went for 20, 30 years like that until I realized that I also need to talk to somebody myself. But it's the question of dual consciousness. How do you exist in this country or in this world and not have a dual consciousness? You need it.
Well, what is a dual consciousness? Tell me what that is to you.
Oh, no, you listen to Russell Means.
Yeah, yeah. What is it to you, though?
Oh, what it means to me is that because of my experience, I have a clear idea of what needs to be done. But because I also listen to people going through their changes, and some of those changes I recognize in myself, I have to pull back for a second. You know, it was something that developed to exist in the South in the 50s and the 60s.
Sure.
And it's something that just, you know, if you let the anger, James Earl Jones and Robert Duvall had a movie called The Family Way, where they both were brothers, but you know, Robert Duvall is white, James Earl Jones is black, so you know the story, you know. And James Earl Jones said, I knew that you were my brother all these years, you know, but this was after they had a fight, you know.
Yeah, I understand. So yeah. Listen, I want to thank you very much, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
All the way, and it's part of sometimes when you can't do the job, being able to guide people is really a wonderful thing to do as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another caller. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. I'm a second-time caller. My name is Tom. I've called you a few months back.
Hello, Tom.
How are you doing? Good afternoon. I'm glad spring is finally coming around. Listen, were you joking when you were talking about playing at America the Beautiful that somebody might get angry?
No, I'm not joking about it. I got to tell you, 2,000 people. It was the American Humanistic Psychology Conference in Philadelphia. And when I played America the Beautiful, the people, years and years ago, this was way back during the Vietnam War, people got so angry. They said, no matter what I told them, they said, you cannot play that song because if you play that song, you are pro-war. And, of course, I understand the association they had, the pain that they had in their head from having it taken from them and having it belong to, you know, thinking that every Republican in America and George Bush is sitting and singing the song. And they feel like it's not theirs anymore. But they were angry. And I got threatening letters. I remember this. I remember I had to account for it. I remember I had to replay it to let people hear the dialogue that went with it. No, not kidding at all. It was a very big thing. Probably going to get letters today. Are you still there?
Hello.
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I'm not the same caller. I'm a new caller.
Hello, new caller.
I heard the overlap there of the conversation. I realized you must be speaking.
Can you turn down your radio all the way, please?
I'm sorry?
Can you turn your radio off, please?
Oh, yes.
You have to turn it off because we get this double feedback here.
I got it.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm so glad that you were calling for calm and people were calling with negativity and complaints and you finally got someone that had a calming effect. A gentleman that grew his 40 avocado trees in his apartment. I thought that was, it just made me feel better to hear that. And I'm so glad that you... Hello?
Yes, what about you?
How about me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling because I reacted to your use of the word apartment. And I think you're absolutely correct about the apart part of apartment.
Uh-huh.
Because you're basically apart from the others that are around you, be it by walls and more often by the psychology. I often ride in the elevator in my own building, and everyone stares straight ahead like they're in a subway car.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it's very sad. Now, personally, excuse me, I just got a bit choked up. Personally, I belong to a group of like-minded people that are, we call ourselves little brains. We do that because we're big fans of Michael Mara's paint, Don Geronimo's Tasticles, and the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to join?
No, well, I don't know. Cancel that, would you? I don't know, but there should be a bleep in there.
Hello?
All right. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Oh, Armand, this is Barbara Such. I am a first-time caller. And I have a couple of points. Interconnectedness, you really start feeling it when you volunteer and helping others. Going to a nursing home for a parent and helping some of the other people there, working with children, tutoring, all that kind of stuff. And another way to feel interconnectedness is to even be in theater, be in a show as a team with people. And thirdly, just
now, wait a minute, Barbara. Sometimes when you're in theater, you don't feel connected. Sometimes it's a competition. Sometimes, even though you're doing something together, you don't necessarily feel connected. I've seen a lot of theatrical events where the people are connected and many where they're not. So it's not an automatic just because you put on a show.
Right. It might have been because I was in my teen years and college and we're a team, and it was a wonderful activity where everybody participated in the chorus, and it was maybe how it was done. And also coming out here, driving today, just past a hawk soaring in New Jersey, and I felt connected to nature. So when I get blue, these are some of the things that have helped me work it out.
Tell me something about you, Barbara. Tell me about the hawk that's you. Tell me about how you would compare yourself to a hawk, and why are you like a hawk?
Oh, just the soaring. Being able to look at a big picture, get away from it for a little while, and see everything. Because sometimes I know
You belong a great deal, but sometimes you love to be separate.
Exactly. And I also sometimes look at the little details instead of the big picture to see how far I've come.
Oh, I see.
I see.
Belonging is not the only way to be, because sometimes just belonging can be a trap. You know, like sometimes you belong to a family that's dysfunctional, and you feel trapped by that family. So you've had to step out, step above it, and fly on your own.
I've had to because I believe in natural healing modalities and things like that. I'm more of a 60s kind of chick, and the rest of my family has been very different. But the one point I was going to make at work is feeling separate, even though you're with a group, happens very often if you're the only female in a group. And you come into a company, a new company, where everybody has been established and they know each other for 20 years. So you don't have any of that history to talk about. And unless they actually go out of their way to try to incorporate you into conversations, it's a definite lack of connectiveness that I know I feel. And
well,
I'm sure
what does it take for you to do? This is what I need to know from you, Barbara. What do you need to do when you're in a group of people who feel disconnected from you, especially when you're the newbie? You know, when you're the new person on a block? Huh? And when you're the new person there and then all these other people see you walking in, what's the rule of how do you get to belong? How do you get to feel like you're part of a group?
Well, in most groups, I'll say hello and smile. And I'm usually the one who brings other people in. In this group at work, because I have been in other companies where what society does is welcome you and will, you know, try to meet you at least halfway. Here it isn't happening. And I had to really question myself and realize that it's not all me and that I feel sometimes invisible unless they need me for a job. And that's okay now. At first it wasn't.
Well, you see what happens. I take my lesson from Cesar Millan, who is the dog whisperer. I take a lesson from him because I remember what happens when he has this troop of dogs. He has this big group of dogs. And whenever he wants to introduce a dog to all of his other dogs, he lets the dog in there and he puts the dog right in the pen with all the other ones. And the primary thing is that everybody wants to sniff that dog first.
Right.
They just want the freedom to sniff it before they engage it. They want to get a sense of who you are. So very often, people who are insecure, they get into a crowd and they make too much noise at the beginning. And they become somebody who becomes an abrasion, you know? It becomes like too much noise. Really, what you've got to do when you join a crowd, when you go into a new crowd, is be there for a little while to let the people sniff you. Let the people know who you are. Let the people get a sense of who you are. And they do that sometimes without words. They just do it by being near you. And I'm sure you're a natural at letting that happen. I am sure that you would never be in an elevator with a group of people where they just look straight ahead. I am sure you'd somehow warm up that group.
You are so right. Being a camp counselor and a school teacher in the past.
That's all you got to do, right? Use those skills.
But, yeah, I've been there 3 years already. And everything changes when alcohol is involved. Then I'm one of the gang. And I don't drink much, so that's I know it's a socialization, and it's the company. Everybody grew up with one another, and it's just a choice that these guys have made. There's also, I'm sure,
You bring up another point, Barbara, because alcohol and drugs are so prevalent because people use it as a way of belonging.
Right.
You see, you use alcohol and you use your relationship with the alcohol itself, your relationship with the drugs themselves, and your relationship with each other as you're part of this community. And so people use that as a way of relating to each other. So it is, I agree with you. I agree that it's one of the ways that people relate. And I thank you very much for calling in. Thank you. Thank you.
You. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Tomorrow on WBAI, what are we discussing? We're discussing ethics. We're discussing a very interesting thing, morality and the origin of morality as it goes back to all the way back in time. The psychobiology and psychohistory of ethics, a very interesting thing with Roberta Atti. And on Thursday, who's our guest? Sonny Fortune. Sonny Fortune, yes, Sonny Fortune, not Sonny Rollins, but Sonny Fortune, the tenor saxophone player, is going to be here with Kent Robert Show. We're going to talk to him a little bit. We just got things really cooking around here at The Positive Mind. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I am now the third time caller. My name is Tom. I called early. I got cut off.
Hey, Tom, I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too, Armand. Listen,
welcome back.
But I don't want to get into that. I think what you're getting on now about people getting on elevators and people staring ahead, I think if you just When I pass by people in the street, I smile and I shake my head. Hello, you know, whatever. Whether I get a response back or not, that's okay. I think the only way you're going to ever be able to shake people's hands is if you put your hand out, you know? And I think, you know, it doesn't take a psychotherapist or psychologist or anything to sit back and realize, hey, listen, I go through this life, you know, by myself, I can be part of. I don't feel like I'm a part of anything but the human race. I'm not, I'm one of these people. I'm an ex-police officer, and I'm not the type of person that goes around kissing and hugging trees. I'm not that type. I'm very happy to be in America. I'm very proud of this country. I'm proud of the things that we've accomplished. I'm not proud of the things we've done in the past, but, hey, we, you know, we're not different from any other country. We do wrong things. But I believe that this is probably one of the few countries on this earth that you can say the things that you can say. And the fact that people call and are disgusted by that song, America the Beautiful, all right, but you hate the song because you just don't like the song. People actually hate this country that they live in. And that's sort of sad in a way.
Yep, and we've all done it. But let me ask you something, Tom. I've got to ask you a question. This is an important one. How come you don't hug a tree? Have you never hugged a tree? Tell me the truth. Now, I'm not joking with you.
I never hugged a tree, but I did give a tree a kiss once.
No. But let's go back. You think I'm joking with you, and I'm not. Have you ever hugged a tree? Now, stay with me. I'm being serious with you, okay?
Okay. I've never actually had that.
Okay, I want to tell you something. This is an interesting thing for you.
Okay.
Because you use it as an example, I'm not the kind of guy who would hug a tree. I guarantee you, if you find a tree that you can get your arms around where your fingers will touch on the other side, so it's just that size, and when nobody's looking one day, I want you to hug a tree. And just hug it. Just hold it. You will feel a connection between you and that tree that will change your life. Because you're a virgin. Because you've never done it.
Yeah.
And so this is a wonderful thing. So here's an opportunity that you may just pass by because you say things like, I never hug a tree. So let me guarantee you, I want you to call me back after you have found that tree and you've hugged it, as long as it's not one of Stefan's avocados, because, you know what I mean? That may just corrupt you. But go find yourself a small oak or a small tree, and you give that a hug, and I promise you, you're going to find something in your heart you didn't even know about.
That's great. Listen, I appreciate you taking my call again. I live in an apartment, too, but it doesn't mean I have to be alone, right?
That's right, just because you're apart.
And there's many buildings I've seen that people have groups where they meet on a weekend and they get together and they have a picnic. You know, if you feel you're live in a building where people aren't as friendly, try to reach out. Reach out.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Tom.
Very much, Armand.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And sometimes I know the words seem like they're there. You know, all you got to do is, it's not so easy. It's not so easy when you feel scared, you know, because fear does an awful lot to you. Fear isolates you. And when you feel scared, you know, you got to give room to that. So maybe you have to start off small. You know, it's not just you're wrong for not doing it. But there is something about those elevators. I'm never in an elevator where people are just staring straight ahead. I don't know, there's something about me that kind of prevents it. 212-209-2900, one last call that we could take before we go. Hi, you're on the air, this is Armand DeMille.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, my name is Sophie, and I wanted to tell you that when I was younger, all through my childhood, teenhood, and 20s, I always felt like an outcast, and I could never find a place that I could belong in. And it would always get me burned because I came from a place of desperation and hunger from coming from a dysfunctional family. And I always just hungered and thirsted to belong. And after many years of getting burned because I was so needy and I was basically a puppy in the hands of anyone who would seem to be nice, and I'd get burned because I didn't have good discernment, I found the way that I belong. I actually feel that I belong to God, and I feel that I am a sister to every single person on this planet, and the way that I feel connected is by trying to make a difference in the world. But I'm not a part of any particular community, specific thing. I just feel that I am a citizen of the world, of the universe.
And that certainly makes you much less desperate, doesn't it?
It does, and I don't feel lonely anymore because I'm not desperate anymore. I actually I've healed a lot in my life, and I actually like loving people more and bringing joy to people more than I need people to bring joy to me. Although it's nice when it happens, and I am grateful for it, but my life has turned around from a place of need to a desire to serve.
That's a great thing, Sophie. And how do you serve?
Well, it's interesting because I am actually disabled, so I have a chronic illness, and it's very hard for me to get out there and volunteer on a regular basis. But when I have my health, I usually pick a person. I live in a senior development, and also it's for disabled, but I usually will choose a senior citizen to go and minister to. When I feel well, I'll bring them a hot meal or just sit and talk to them, bring them company. And I also do things in my bed, like I make prayer beads and things for this other organization that it supports. And I'm an artist, so I'm working on a book which I hope will benefit charities. And that's my connection to the world. That's
Sophie,
the best that I can do, really, with the illness that I have.
Sophie, it's beautiful. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for everything you do. I love your work, and I'm so grateful for all you bring to us.
This is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. I've got to be going. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. And unfortunately, we've kind of run out of time. Let me see now. So I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1. If you want to hear today's program again, you could go to WBAI.org or thepositivemind.com. Or send me an email, Armand@brainlink.com. Tell me what you thought of the song America the Beautiful.
Yes.